Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk. And the fire!
Well, unfortunately, Brock, I think it's time for our daily who kicked the ball around for the Mariners last night report. And once again, it was Jorge Polanco. This is, of all the things that are kind of bizarre with this team,
yep,
this one is a lot. So, look, do good hitters go into slumps? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are there guys on this team who are significantly better hitters than they've shown through the first 12 games? Yes, of course. Do I think that they're going to, you know, go an entire season without scoring six runs? No. I don't know if they're ever going to be a great hitting team, but I think what we've seen through the first 12 games is maybe not representative of what they're capable of. Same, obviously, on the pitching side, where now through 12 games, they still only have three quality starts, one quarter of their starts. That's not what we were expecting out of this incredible rotation, the way it was put together. So, you know, all of those things are obviously big issues that are major surprises. And because they're so surprising, I don't know that we expect it to continue quite like that.
Mm-hmm.
Defense is driving me nuts.
Oh.
And it feels like this is like a daily event.
Is this also, can I just pause you? Yeah. Is this in any way, and you know, we're good enough friends. We've been doing this long enough. Is this any way self-fulfilling? Like, you knew that this would be a problem going in, and so it's probably irking
sure.
you maybe
it's
even
possible.
More.
Yes. Okay. I mean, like, I'm certainly not immune to seeing what I want to see out on a field.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I was concerned about the defense going in. So maybe I'm hyper-focused on it.
And on top of it, they've been really good. It reminds me of Daniel Jeremiah, who will, and I love this point that Daniel's made over the years. You know, when he's done and the hay is in the barn and the season's over with scouting, the first thing he does to just recalibrate is watch the great NFL guys at each of those positions, right?
To kind of see what it looks like.
To kind of remind himself once again, okay, let me get a little cleanser here. Let me get a little palate cleanser now that the, you know, that class is done and that draft is over before I start evaluating next year's class. Let me cleanse my palate
right.
by watching the greats in the league do
and
it.
And we've watched that for the last few years. They've been
sure
tremendous
have.
Defensively. They've really played clean, and we've talked about that for being the reason they've won so many close games over the years.
Yep.
This is worse than I thought. I mean, look, I didn't think they would be a great defensive team, but I didn't think it would be this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday you watched Polanco. Maybe there were a couple other examples as well. I was kind of in and out of yesterday's game. I had to go to a dinner and stuff. But, you know, I'm watching, and then I watched some of it on the replay later just to get a sense, because lucky me, I just wanted to watch it a second time and really see how the whole thing went yesterday. But, all right, Polanco makes it. The first error he made was just blatant error, right? Ball, slow ground ball hit directly to him,
mm-hmm.
and it just bounces straight out of his glove.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, man, what is going on with this guy? All right, fine. He makes an error. It almost looked kind of yips-like. Did you think that the one after, because then he got the double play ball. Good on Kirby. He made sure that error didn't matter. He gave him a double play ball. And I certainly felt as if he, like, took an extra beat, mm-hmm. watched it all the way into his glove, stared it down, paused for a moment, and then threw to short for the to start the 4-6-3. Did it seem that way to you, that he kind of was like, I got to make sure I do this right?
Justin's going to be better to ask than me.
Did you think so, Justin?
Sorry, you're going to have to repeat it more.
I asked you earlier, do you think that that Polanco paused on that second ground ball that turned into a double play to make darn sure?
I saw it on the replay, yeah, but I'm going to go back to my point of, like, I just think that there's some of, you saw the outfielders responding weird to some of these hops too. I think a new turf is different for people who are used to getting hundreds and thousands of reps on turf and fields, and they're not true. That's going to throw you off a little
could
bit, and that's going to get in your head more than anything.
Absolutely yeah. could, but it sure seemed like he stared that thing in.
Yep, totally. That's a good point.
And then, you know, okay, so that error didn't really end up mattering, but Cal's got the runner pegged, man. And I know it ball skipped, so it's not an error.
It's an error on Cal.
Which is the silliest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
That's a play you got to make. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that runner scores on a single after that, and another runner scores with two outs, which wouldn't have scored if that had been an out. And you're like, man, there's your two runs.
Did
the game.
Was the Kirby Bach, that runner to second, did that runner score?
Yes.
I thought that was also a, like,
yeah, that
oh,
one scored.
That's squarely on Kirby. Like, he's the one that let him on the base, and he's the one that moved him to second base.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, I'm like, there are little things like that that pile on more than just a defensive miscue. Mm-hmm.
They're all adding up. All the little things are just adding
and
up.
And everything it feels like you do wrong ends up costing you. So, totally. You know, you can watch that and say, well, how come Kirby didn't get him out of the inning? He should have, right? I mean, he's got Bichette with two strikes, two outs. If he buries him, then he wins. Mm-hmm. But he didn't. But also, he shouldn't have been in the position to begin with. Yep. So these things are spiraling for them a little bit right now. And I think that's what's so concerning watching them, is that these same mistakes seem to be occurring night in, night out. Mm-hmm. If I were Scott, and I'm not, I'd give Polanco the day off. I got to get him out of there for a day. Let Dylan Moore play second base. Let somebody else be in there for the day and just take over. I'd like to just let him have a day to get clear his head, to fix whatever. I don't know if he's taking his at-bats into the field or if he's taking the defense up to the plate. Whatever it is, let's just give this guy an opportunity to take a day off and be the player that they traded for, because he has not been it so far.
No, he's not. And he had just such a brilliant spring, which once again is a reminder to be, and we say it every year when we're down there, like, be very careful. Spring results do not project to anything. And we've seen that in the inverse with obviously Jared down there in Atlanta as well. But it was more of how solid he was. It was Goldie coming on with us, right? And I kind of said, hey, man, you know, are we going to be good here, or is this kind of, and he said, absolutely. I mean, you look at his numbers, Salk, over the years, it's only been injury. It's been health. It's been the only thing that slowed him down, from a barrel rate and a swing and miss rate and an eye and being able to spray the ball, like, just doing everything, right? Over the years, those numbers have been so, so solid. And right now, they're a struggle. And right now, you know, we don't think this matters because we think these guys are robots, but they're human beings. And he was with one organization for 15 years. I mean, one place for 15 years. So this is new. This is new teammates. There are some new fundamentals. This is new routines. This is sit number three in that lineup right behind Julio, who's also not gotten it going. So, yeah, just the whole thing is just somewhat unraveling. You know, my buddy Luke Arkins.
All those things are fair, Brock.
Yeah.
But you got to play good defense. You got to play sound defense.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's one thing, some of the balls they haven't been able to get to because they don't have a tremendous amount of range in left field or in right field, and shortstop range is not what it was. Like, okay, fine. They're not going to get to – when I said they were going to struggle defensively this year, what I meant was they're not going to have a tremendous amount of range.
Correct.
There are going to be
balls
that fall
in. There's not going to be outs above average.
In.
There's not going to be out. They're going to be average at best.
Okay.
That's just what
like
they
that's,
are.
That's something that I was prepared to live with on this team, because I don't think the range that Mitch or whoever's playing left and third base – it's not going to be what we've seen the last few years.
But you got to make your three-foot putts.
You got to make the ones that are hit right at you.
Yeah.
And for the Mariners this year, it's been the errors – and it's been the balls you should still get even if you don't have a tremendous amount of range that aren't considered errors but are absolutely makeable plays. Mm-hmm. And while I never question effort, especially when people are saying, hey, you know, they're not hitting, they look dead. Yeah, when teams aren't hitting, they look dead. We know that.
Yep.
When you're not fielding,
correct.
To me, there's a level of concentration, and that's got to be better. I don't. Yeah. I can't prove that.
And that, by the way,
but
has
I don't
been,
like seeing the fielding issues, there, man. That makes me very much more concerned than the dead bats.
If there has been one consistent theme over the years that you have said about the greatest strength of Scott as a manager, it has been when they're not hitting, they're not doing some of these things, it doesn't matter. Their attention to detail, their defense, their discipline, their focus, you know, has just been off the charts. It's just not carried over into that. And that's a testament, no matter, you know, some of these really rough starts in April, they have bounced back. Some of these really rough June swoons, they have bounced back. And the skipper has deserved a ton of credit for that. But yeah, 12 games into the season, that whether through talent, they just don't have the range defensively, Salk, or on the ones that fundamentally you just got
to
have.
But I'm going to live with those. I'm going to live with the fact that they're not going to get to every ball. I honestly am going to understand it. And sometimes it's going to affect them, and you're going to say, well, all right, that's what happens, and you're paying for something else. Okay, fine.
Yep.
You make trade-offs in order to do what you do with your budget. But you got to have your head in the game. You got to be concentrating. You got to make those plays defensively, or else this team is not capable of winning. So I am, of all the things that have happened this year, do I think their pitching is going to have, you know, one quarter quality starts? I don't. I think it'll turn around. Do I think the offense is this bad? No, I don't. I think some of their best players haven't gotten going yet. I don't think the defense is this bad, but baseball's hard. You got to control what you can control. Mm-hmm. I don't get mad at players for not hitting well because I think they'll hit well again. I'm not going to get mad at Luis or George or whomever for not pitching well because I think they will pitch well again, and those things are hard. You got to play good defense. Yeah. You got to have good base running. You got to make good decisions. You got to control the things on the field that you're capable of controlling. Because if you don't, it exacerbates every other problem you have and makes this game much, much harder to play.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Sign up for Mariners Mail to receive pre-sale offers, exclusive content, and more directly to your inbox for free. Mariners Mail subscribers get first dibs on all the latest ticket news and action from T-Mobile Park. Go to mariners.com/insider to join the club today.
Washington residents get special discounts on tickets and memberships all throughout May. Plan your vacation today and see MoPop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Open now. Tickets at mopop.org/vacation.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Cantor Diamond is the only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. Meet us in our professional Tacoma offices by appointment or globally by phone, email, Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond. Truly the best diamond prices, bestdiamondprice.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Another tough one yesterday, and unfortunately it looks so similar, almost a carbon copy to the day before. Mariners lose again, 5-3, as George Kirby was battered a little bit early, and then some defensive problems raised their head, and then they didn't hit a lot until late in the game. It just seems like we're seeing so much of the same. We've talked quite a bit about the pitching. The offense, though, troubling once again.
You know, the core of our club, you know, you're talking about JP and Julio and Cal and guys like that, just haven't really got much traction going yet. And you need everybody contributing. You know, we're seeing it from other clubs, you know, bottom of the lineup, top of the lineup. Guys are coming up with big two-out hits, and they're creating more traffic than we are. They're playing better than us. Bottom line, we need to play better.
He's absolutely right. Bottom line, they need to play better than they have played so far. Fortunately, according to Scott, they seem to understand that.
Guys are talking about it. A lot of open communication amongst our players, where we're at, and how we need to get out of it. We are in a moment in time. This happens throughout the course of baseball season. It's very unfortunate when it happens early in the season. Because everybody, you know, wants to panic and all this other stuff. But we got to play better baseball. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, you split a series with Boston right in the opener, and you were fortunate. You came back in extra innings. Julio had his first walk-off. That was awesome. Split that one. Then you lost the next series. You lost the next series. And you lost this series. Right now, you got to salvage it. In those other two, you were not swept, which is always a huge deal when you put yourself in these holes. And I say it all the time, just don't get swept. I mean, it's when you get swept that just really starts to cave in on you. Go find a win here. Logan, hopefully, can be the stopper and turn it around. But Cleveland's played better baseball. Milwaukee's played better baseball. And certainly Toronto, after starting rough at 4-6, they got to come home. And this was their opening homestand of the season. And those guys, man, let's talk about some defense, some range.
Right.
Making some plays, doing all the little things right. And then in big moments, getting the barrel to the ball against some elite pitching, against Luis and Kirby that got great, great stuff. They have unfortunately made the Mariners pay.
You want a little confession?
Sure.
If he played for my team, Alejandro Kirk, I think, would be my favorite player in the league. How fun is that guy to watch? It's He's not even having a great start to the year, but like, I would love to watch that guy play every game.
Like, there's bellies. Like, David Wells had a belly. That dude doesn't even have a belly. No, he's like a mini fridge.
He's just so squat.
Yes.
And he runs, yes. And he's fun. Like, I don't know. I just really enjoy him.
He actually is built like a French bulldog.
That's a pretty fun team. That Blue Jays team, watching them last few games,
Guerrero's dropped 25 pounds. Bichette plays a great shortstop.
And he's fun, and he's happy, and he's excited.
Schiermeier's fun in center field.
It's kind of a fun little Blue Jays team, not going to lie. 4-8 are the Mariners. They'll get it going one more with the Blue Jays today at noon, last game of the road trip before they return home. Logan Gilbert will be on the hill.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Seahawks are meeting with everybody, Brock. Jared Verse is in for a meeting. He's probably the biggest name, although we'll talk about Spencer Rattler as well. Jared Verse can really play. I mean, he is one of these physical freaks, right?
He is very, very gifted, man. Started a small school. I love it. I think some of the questions were, how elite is he? How elite and how many of those boxes does he check? And yeah, he checks them all, man. He's long. He's athletic. He's dynamic. He's so many things that you want on the edge. You know, Dallas Turner will probably go ahead of him, the Alabama kid, because he's got a little bit more twitch, even a little bit more length, Salk. But yeah, these are guys that you've got in. You got Chop Robinson in, defensive end from Penn State as well. And as we talked about last hour, like, if chasing edges is your identity, that's the theme of your scheme and who you are, right? You're chasing edges.
But he's not. Better get that edge right. He says that. He doesn't. It's not about the edge rusher.
No, it's not solely about the edge rusher.
It's not at all about the edge rusher.
It is somewhat about the edge rusher, because that's what Bill Belichick. Well, that's how he built his system for 20 years there.
I'm not saying that you don't need a good edge rusher, but when he says chasing edges, isn't that about looking for an advantage in everything you do?
Absolutely. It's finding everything in the margins. He could have said, well, he could have said chasing margins. He could have done that.
Right, but.
But the edges.
I don't think that's what he means. Maybe it is. I don't think he would say that's like the definition of chasing edges.
No, he probably wouldn't. Okay. But setting an edge on a football team,
pretty
can it be your identity?
Okay.
Can it be with Willie McGinnis and Mike Vrabel?
Yes.
The cornerstone and the foundation of what you do?
Absolutely. Not disagreeing. Sounds good.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Not really.
I don't know if that's really what he means, but all right. Masters getting underway tomorrow. Scotty Scheffler, 13-4 favorite. Rory McIlroy, we talked about earlier. Tiger's going to be there.
I hurt every day.
Yeah.
So, yes. I ache every day. And I prefer it warm and humid and hot. And I know we're getting some thunderstorms, so at least it'll be hot. It won't be like last year.
Think about that. This is Scott Van Pelt, who joined us last hour. And if you missed it, you can always find it on our app and on the podcast. Dude's got a fused back.
Yeah.
So your back hurts. You know, you get a little nerve issue up top. I'll give you that. Dude's got a fused back.
Yeah.
And then he nearly lost his leg. I mean, he's got hardware in his lower leg like your beautiful wife does when she fell down the stairs in Italy or France or wherever that was.
You know what's hard for me with this, though? He didn't hurt himself playing sports. Like, the reason he has
the back is part of it.
But Brock, the thing that truly ended this for him was his own fault. Mm-hmm. It's not because he was playing sports, and unfortunately sports hurts.
Yep.
You can't like tell the story without that part of
fair.
It. I think it is relevant to say the reason he's not able to play golf at the level he once did. Yes, it's partially because of just, you know, time and injury. Some of it's because he decided
it's called entropy. It's the third law of thermodynamics. Entropy. Everything falls apart over time.
Okay, but it's more than that, unfortunately, because there were other things that fell apart. Kraken win 5-0. Nice to see Shane Wright get another goal. He's been really impressive here in his little stint at the end of the season. Very promising to see. Good news. All right, that's everything you need to know.
Not quite everything you need to know. We were wondering, were the women going to beat the men? Were the women going to outrate the man?
And?
Were Caitlin Clark and Iowa and South Carolina and Dawn Staley going to outrate the man? They didn't just outrate him. They smashed him.
Yeah.
What did we say the women averaged? Nearly 18 million. The men 18.7. Yeah, the men were like 14 and a half.
Yeah.
So I know one was on TBS and TNT, and one was on, well, that's your choice. That's your choice.
Absolutely.
Put them on CBS if you want.
Yeah,
you know,
which they should have done.
Which they probably should have done. But the first time that has ever happened, and I don't know, man, with the fixtures that you have in basketball, with Juju coming back to USC, with Gino Auriemma at UConn, with the number one recruit in America, some of the big storylines there.
Caitlin Clark was such a big factor in that. And bringing in people that have never been interested in it before.
It's true.
I think that number is not going to last. But Will it be better than it was pre-Caitlin Clark? Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting question. I think it probably will be.
Well, yes, it will be.
Keep saying this, Brock. This really, I was talking to a group of people about it last night. This is my favorite sports story we've covered in ages.
Yeah.
I really, it is so pure.
It's pure, but then it's got an edge.
Yeah, it's got an edge. Right? Yes.
It's pure, but then it's got a Taurasi and it's got a Staley who can be a little edgy. Mm-hmm. Right, it's pure, but you got an arrogance with Gino Auriemma.
I guess what I mean though is it's so fresh, it's so new. It is so rare that we have a completely new thing to talk about in this job.
Yes.
And I love my job every day. I'm not complaining about it, but we talk about a lot of the same things day after day, right? That's sort of what the gig is. And I love it. I love talking about the Seahawks. I love talking about the Mariners. I wish I didn't have to have the exact same conversation about them today as I did yesterday, because they played the exact same game yesterday as they had done the day before. Mm-hmm. But in general, I enjoy talking about the teams we talk about. I enjoy all of that.
Yes.
What this story is so completely fresh and brand new that it came up out of nowhere, hit us in the head and said, talk about me.
And honestly, I really do. SVP said, man, it's Tiger in 97. It's Tiger the same way. Like, this is awesome. Like, golf has been good. And there's Arnold Palmer's and Arnie's Army and there's the Bear and awesome. But then Tiger brought a whole new audience and a whole new layer to it and all these new storylines. And then the tide rose with him and all his peers. And hopefully college women's basketball continues to do the same, because it's awesome.
Let's see. I find myself always wondering if Brock ever gets sick of Saul constantly shutting down everything he says. It must feel like doing a show with his significant other. Is that true?
No, not really.
TJ's on the other side of it. Brock is so literal. I don't think chasing edges literally has anything to do with your edge rushers.
Okay.
Doesn't this guy read the Bible? I don't know whether those two things would have anything to do with each other, TJ. I'm gonna grab Brock.
Can you read
Brock
that text that somebody did confess to that they eat their fingernails?
No, I'm not reading that. No.
Someone confessed that, right?
No,
Maury?
I'm
you
not
said that
reading
earlier?
It. No.
Someone else?
What do you say,
did text?
No. What do you say about confession, Brock?
Didn't happen.
Good for the soul, bad for
Didn't
the reputation.
Happen.
And don't eat your nails because it gives you tapeworms.
Nope, not a real thing. That's disgusting.
That's what
Didn't really happen. We're going around the NFL. Next, with Brock, one picture that destroys months of goodwill. It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. The only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email. BestDiamondPrice.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
The Museum of Pop Culture, Seattle's destination museum for music, film, fashion, and gaming, has savings just for Washington residents in May. See MoPop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, we're rolling along here, and I wish we didn't have to talk about this story, but, well, we do. Brock, when you see it, you can't unsee it, and it, unfortunately for this particular individual, is probably going to undo a couple of weeks and months of some goodwill, but it will lead our trip around the NFL.
All right, yeah, what I did have in here for this person was actually a cut from Dan Orlovsky, but we got sidetracked, so... Russell Wilson is on the cover of Essence magazine. Apparently he was nominated as their sexiest man of the moment. he was nominated for this, so it's not like he sought it out. But it just seems like perhaps you might say this isn't the best time to do this and pass on that. Like, I don't know
what
you guys think.
What?
So he's on the cover in
what is
a,
Joe, what is a Joe Namath fur jacket? What?
Yes.
Is he shirtless?
White tank, fur jacket.
Uh-huh.
Lots of jewelry.
Boots.
On the inside, he's wearing a muscle tank.
Mm.
I think with some sort of denim, almost
overalls?
Like mechanics outfit, yep. Or something that's around his waist.
Nice.
And then he's flexing with sunglasses on.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then
Pittsburgh guy.
That Steel screams City guy. Pittsburgh.
You know what it does? It screams Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It sure does. Yes. By the way, can you make a cut of that, like, introduction to for G on Friday? I think
you
will really like that.
Let's never ever hear that again. The awkwardness
like
around all of that is something that I think we could just do.
Oh, no. It gets better, Saul. It gets better.
Magazine.
No, it gets better because it's not only the pictures, Maura. You have a great quote from...
The quote is for... This is part of it.
She can't even read it. She can't even read it.
For me to be able to go to back-to-back Super Bowls and win one of them, I think I opened up a lot of doors, he says. Now you see guys like Patrick Mahomes who won it. It's really just us so far, but there's more to come.
What?
So he opened the door for Mahomes, and it's really just them in that category right now. But maybe
what?
More.
People that have won Super Bowls?
Gone to back-to-back, I guess.
Mm.
I don't know if he opened that door. I would say...
Tom Brady kind of went to back-to-back.
John Elway.
Since? Is that what he
is
means?
Is it black quarterbacks that have
is
done
black,
that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's focusing on?
Maybe.
I just...
That's a very...
I thought,
like,
that was...
You're really trying to, like, find a niche if you're going to that extent. Okay, guys, what if we do black quarterbacks that have been to back-to-back Super Bowl? Okay. How about quarterbacks that have never received an MVP vote? Do you want to be in that category?
I thought he was putting himself in the category of Patrick Mahomes, which I think Patrick Mahomes has surpassed him. But
I would say so in essentially every way.
See, this is the problem with every time I think, okay, we're going to be in a little valley. Let's be a little humble. Let's just, you know, less is a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Less is a lot more, especially when you're going to the Steel City on a minimum deal where you've got no equity and your back is squarely against the wall for your career, your legacy, your Hall of Fame, all of it. It's there. So, like, less is more.
Right.
This is more is more.
Well, in this case, it didn't work. And so, I have always felt like this is not going to be a good marriage for Russ in Pittsburgh. I know you feel differently, Brock. As he sits there and having already potentially rubbed some people the wrong way,
yeah.
Now you've got Justin Fields breathing down your neck. I'm sorry. I just don't think this is the right thing to do.
It just shows to me that he doesn't really have anybody around him right now telling him not to do stuff.
Correct.
More than anything.
Correct.
This is confirmation.
You guys remember when you had that host on from Denver? Our buddy Zach?
Yeah.
Went for 20 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, he just needed to let loose how frustrated he was. It's unbelievable. All right, what else we got? Well, there have to be some
cool
real
stories. Cool for him that he had
NFL.
That honor. I just question whether maybe he should have accepted it at this time.
Yes.
We'll move on to Bill Belichick.
Will we please?
He may be spending a lot of time at UW these days, and he's seems like he's getting comfortable. I don't know if you saw, I sent you a picture yesterday. He did end up cutting those sleeves off of
Good.
The UW gear.
Looked
that he
much
has.
Better. He looked much more at home.
Yeah, but he's also... made his way over to Nebraska for their coaching clinic, and Matt Rhule was left in awe by him.
He is so smart, has seen so much, that he can make the complex so simple that it humbles you and embarrasses you. I was embarrassed yesterday listening to him, how smart he is, how simple it was. He went, he went 4.5 hours with just with the coaches. Forget the clinic. Like, he came in and met with our coaching staff. And 3.5 hours in, I was like, Coach, would you like a water or a coffee? Would you like to use the restroom? Because I desperately had to use the restroom, you know? And he's like, I'm fine, Matt. I was like, yes, sir.
Let me read.
I want more Matt Rhule, please. That was great.
He's awesome. Let me read a little something for you. Because if this doesn't just say Bill Belichick, I don't know what does. The color purple is generally associated with royalty, luxury, nobility, power, and ambition. Purple is also used to represent creativity, dignity, grandeur, independence, pride, peace, mystery, and magic. Bill looks good in purple. And, you know, this was not a one and done. You had asked me, I think we had debated this, Saul.
I know. I didn't think this would happen.
No, you didn't. Bet the house, bet the kids, bet the mortgage, bet the dog, bet it all.
Would you stop it?
And you, we said, how much? Come on. How much is Bill? How much are Bill and Pete really going to be around? They're not. Maybe they'll come in for a game. They'll fly into a cameo. They'll do good by Jed Fish. That's not this. He was out at the coaching clinic. He's been on the practice field.
Yeah.
As Morris said, with the sleeves cut off, he has been. Can you imagine being a player? Can you imagine being Carson Bruner, a fifth-year linebacker, came back to school, and you're like, man, this guy's sitting in my meeting rooms?
I assume some of the younger players never heard of him.
Come on.
I don't know.
He's won a bunch of Super Bowls recently. He's been relevant. He's led the Patriots. He's led the greatest dynasty. He's led the greatest dynasty in sports the last 25 years.
Is he Patrick Mahomes? They never heard of him.
Give him a little credit.
Never heard of him. Who is he? Bill who?
It's pretty stinking cool.
I really think we got to get him on the show. He's probably the worst guest I've ever had on a show, and I talk to him every week. But I wonder how that would be now. Like, would he have a lot to say now that he's not talking about his own team? I think he might. He might be fascinating.
Is he still your quarterback going forward?
Yeah, there were a lot of problems. It certainly wasn't on him.
Is it Bill or son?
I don't know.
All right, do you want to move into some draft rumors?
Hold on, before you do, is Bill going to coach again?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
I think so.
I think he might be done.
Yeah, it was part of Matt Rhule's frustration and complaint, too. Like, are you serious, NFL? Like, we're at a place where this guy can't land a job.
Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he wants Shula's record. I think he would go after that. I think that would be, you know, as proud as he is, as much of a historian as he is, Hulk, he won't talk about it himself, and he won't ever say that. But I would think he would like to be on the top of that win ladder. So, yep. Kenny Les Ball, it's what he is and who he is.
All right, Albert Breer was on Rich Eisen's show, and he had an interesting breakdown of why he thinks Penix is so polarizing for people trying to figure out where he should go in the draft.
What's fascinating about this now, and this is what I call the conundrum, is as I've made more calls over the last couple of weeks, I've found that coaches love him and that coaches like him a lot more than scouts do. And so I was talking to somebody over the weekend who, you know, knows Penix, and I asked, why would that be? And it was really interesting. The answer I got was that Penix has the stuff that you can't coach. The downfield accuracy is very, very difficult to correct or grow. It's just either there or it's not. Michael Penix throws with anticipation. That's really, really hard to coach. Where he struggles, like underneath, like coaches feel like they can fix that. Where he struggles with movement in the pocket, coaches feel like they can work on that. So I think that that's the conundrum.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather be a quarterback that is loved by scouts or one that is loved by coaches?
Both, please.
Okay, but that's not the question.
Yes.
Which is more important?
I would lean into coaches is more important.
I would think so too, right?
Yes.
Don't you always tell me that scouts are negative and they get kind of into that negative view on everything?
Well, it's what we've talked about in the past, Saul. Because general manager's got a different job than the manager. They've got a different job than the coach.
Right.
General manager's got to look at the big picture. He's got to project. Scouts got a different job than the coaches, right? They got to project and find the best long-term assets, the best values, right? The best value they can find. They got different jobs. Coaches got to then take that personnel and make the most out of it. But I would tend to agree with what Albert's heard. Chase Daniel, another guy, maybe we can get him on the show, by the way. He's starting to venture into this media world. What, 14 years NFL quarterback, and you see him starting to put stuff out there on YouTube and other places. He thinks Penix is the third best QB in this draft. And he puts the data behind it and says, frankly, this Texas game, you won't find anybody in this class. And you've seen some remarkable games from Caleb Williams. I watched one at Utah, 45-44 overtime. Unbelievable. But what Penix did between the tackles against Texas to like project to the next level, you won't see tape anybody last year like that tape.
Yeah. Yeah, he feels like such an NFL quarterback to me, like a guy who will have so much success at the next level.
But then the following week, you play an NFL defense.
Right.
You play a scheme that crashes the edges, that hits you and batters you and harasses you and, you know, physically makes you hurt.
I just don't know what quarterback does well against that team in that moment. So
not many did.
I think he's going to have some success. I don't know if he's going to be an all-timer, but he sure seems like somebody who should go in the first half of the first round. I would much rather be liked by coaches than scouts. Because scouts are about traits. Scouts are about projection. Scouts, as you've said, Brock, manage to find the negatives in everything. Coaches see, hey, what could this guy do for me? What could I do with him?
And
the whole idea of the uncoachable stuff, that sounds important and something that is, I think, part of the problem with NFL teams over the course of the last 15 years trying to find quarterbacks.
Maura, Justin, Saul, just take like the parameters out of it. Take the team build out of it. Take the contract out of it. Take everything out of it. Just take it all out of it. Just player for player. In 2024, would you rather have Michael Penix as the quarterback of the Seahawks or Geno Smith?
In 2024?
In 2024.
For how they'll do that season?
For this upcoming season. And you'll obviously, in this case, you'd have Penix for years. And I guess you can keep the contract situation because Geno's basically on a year-to-year deal, right? So would you rather have Geno on a year-to-year deal, or would you rather have Penix for the next 5 years starting his career?
Oh, okay. For
this
the next
season
5 years.
In Seattle. Yes.
I'd rather have Penix.
Maura?
Yeah. As long as you find some solutions to the offensive line, I think I'd rather have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I'd rather have Penix over what else I could do with the number 16 pick.
Yes.
But would I rather have Michael Penix or Geno Smith? I'd
rather have total playground game, right? We're on the playground in Libby. We're out there in Libby, Montana. Well,
probably,
Libby
I think
Elementary
I would say
school.
That about the first five quarterbacks in this draft.
Would you?
Yeah.
So Penix or Geno?
Yeah.
I think I'm going with some built-in chemistry here with Geno.
You'd rather have Geno for 1 year than Penix for five?
Oh. No, I'm going Penix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, because the odds are Geno's probably not going to win you a Super Bowl. Maybe Penix will. Maybe Drake May will. Maybe Jaden Daniels will. Mm-hmm. Maybe Caleb Williams will. Maybe J.J. McCarthy will. I don't feel that way specifically about Bo Nix. You might be able to convince me, but I sure haven't seen it. Yeah, Brock, any one of those five guys might be a dude.
They might. The bird in the hand is pretty darn good and pretty darn solid,
too. Nope, not good enough. The bird in the hand has not gotten you to the promised land. Mm. I'm taking the...
The bird in the hand, the promised land.
Yeah, no, I'm taking whatever's right in the now? Bush. Yeah. Just a hand in the bush,
with a little
in the bush.
Tush. Okay. Next.
What?
Next.
All right. Next. Former ESPN analyst Merrill Hodge went on WCCO radio.
Is
to
he
break
still
down
rocking that big knot? Remember, Merrill was the big knot guy in his time.
Huge knot.
Is he still rocking that giant knot?
That's a good question.
I hope so. Sorry, Moore. Go ahead.
He went on WCCO radio to break down the quarterbacks in the draft, and he had a very strong, pretty negative opinion on Drake May.
Drake May will get you fired. Drake May's the kind of player that gets you fired. And especially you draft him in the top five, you know, top three, you know, he's going to get you fired. And for, let's use the process and accuracy, Malik Willis might be the only guy I could think of that is as erratic as Drake May. It is, I studied him for 2 years, and I am telling you, I have yet to find, actually, well, I would say probably his best game. I watched every one of his games last year. It's probably the Pitt game. And that was an average football game. His last game, the NC State game, was the most embarrassing display I'd ever seen from a guy who's supposed to be an elite franchise quarterback.
God, I love this. God, do I ever love this, Brock. I love when people stand up and say, what are we talking about with these traitsy quarterbacks that
That's
don't
right.
win?
Yeah.
Would I take Drake May as the possibility over, as I said, Gino? Yeah, of course, because of the possibility. Do I think of all the guys, and I'm going to give you some rapid fire tomorrow on all of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, we are. Yeah,
the
we
guy
are.
I think is most likely to fail in the top five is Drake May.
Yeah.
I don't like traitsy guys who don't win.
Yep. I am on that bandwagon with you, man, and have been for years, the Blaine Gabberts, and you've seen a lot of them, you know, and I love Jake Locker to death. He's like the greatest dude ever. And, but yeah, I mean, if you know, yours truly, did you elevate people enough around you, you know? And I know you hate it when I bring up my familial stories, but you know, I'm going to just say it again, and I don't care.
It.
It's just who I am.
I would
all
never
right?
hate it.
Driving home from this
your stories.
Freshman orientation last night, and Titus like, yeah, Dad, look, did you see those other QBs? There's like three other QBs coming in the high school. I'm like, great. I think one of them can throw it good. I'm like, awesome.
Good.
Do you think throwing a football 60 yards and throwing great spirals is playing quarterback? Or Titus, do you think it's about elevating the people around you? Mm-hmm. I've told you this once. I'm going to tell it to you 100 times. Like, I'm glad. And you know what? We'll get you some trainers and you'll get in front of people and you can throw a football really hard and really far and really beautifully and all that. that's not the game, man. That's not the position. The position is you walk in and everyone's like, man, that's our quarterback.
All right, I'm going to prove to you that I do like your family stories. In fact, I'm going to go to an old school Brock Heward family story and ask you if you still do it. You told me once years ago, at least a decade ago, that one question you would ask your kids at dinner. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Do you still do it?
Absolutely.
With Titus?
Not every single day, but does it come up on a weekly basis? Absolutely.
Okay, Brock, tell the story, because I think it's a tremendous thing that you would do.
Well, no, you tell the story.
Brock used to ask his kids every day at dinner, because we all ask our kids. When you have kids, you got to ask them the same questions every day.
See, I talk too much, so you tell the story.
I'll tell the
story. Better when somebody else tells the
story. I do like the story a lot. Brock would ask his kids, what did you do to be a leader today?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a fantastic question. We ask our kids other things. We ask, you know, who made you laugh today? What did you learn today? What were you grateful for today? Like, we ask a lot of questions like that, and it's sort of helpful to get kids going and get them talking about their day, and that way you can learn more than just, like, how was your day? Because kids won't answer that a lot of times. They don't, they'll just give you a fine, whatever. But, hey, what were you grateful for is important. Mm-hmm. What were you, you know, all those things are.
What did you learn?
Yeah, much better.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to be a leader today is such a great question. And knowing Brock's kids a little bit, you can absolutely see the effect that it had on them. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, that's not rocket science. But yeah, in this day and age, it's just, and kudos to you guys, because you don't see that a lot, Salk. You don't see people talking a lot. You don't see kids talking a lot. You know, I train this baseball team, right? And I love it. And we do it now on Tuesday night. So it was last night, you know. And in fact, the skipper, you know, picked up his son and he's like, hey, can I chat with you for a second? I'm like, sure. He's like, who's like vocally lead? Were any of the guys, or do you feel like with these sessions, you're getting more? Because it's just not in so much of the nature of today's teenage. And I don't want to make it a girls or boys. I think it's both to some degree, but especially the boys that I'm around. Like, come on, talk. Look them in the eye. Have a conversation. That's what quarterbacking is, right? When Merrill Hodge says that, you know, that would be my concern about Drake, because my concern I've heard from a coordinator of his. Like, come on, man. You got to lead the men. You got to elevate the men, right? They got to follow you, right? I think that's some of Sam Howell. We had that conversation to start the show. Like, you know, Bram Weinstein loves the talent, loves the grit, loves the toughness. Come on now. Can you elevate the people around you?
Yep.
That is such a huge part of this QB conversation.
All right, I got one last one for you here. This was John Harbaugh talking to ESPN's Jameson Hensley, and he said he wants his quarterback's input on their potential draft prospects.
Lamar, you know, he's been tasked over the text, you know, world with a couple of assignments, right? So we'll see who he likes, you know, and he looks at guys on tape, and he's never been shy about giving his opinion, free agents or the draft. So he hasn't weighed in quite yet, but he will.
Okay, quick little sidebar with that. Skip Holtz.
That's all Russ ever wanted. That's all Russ ever wanted was for somebody to ask him his opinion. Then they did, and they got Greg Olsen.
Skip Holtz, two-time champ in the USFL, son of Lou, right? Was college coach at South Florida. We did a great job, Louisiana Tech, everywhere. The one thing, Salk, when I'm on the sidelines, and I'll be there Saturday night with him in Birmingham, I've never seen a coach do this more than he does. He wants the input of his quarterback.
It's cool.
It's constantly, like during timeouts, do you like this? And it's not he knows what he wants, and I've asked him about it. I'm like, why do you do that a lot? He's like, because it empowers them. Because then they know that they're part of it.
Yeah.
Lamar's got $200 million guaranteed dollars. He already knows that he's a part of it. He already knows that he's the franchise QB. But further empowering him, further like, hey, man, you know, we're in this. And we're so much in this together that I really value and seek out your opinion. Go watch him, because you're going to see it differently than I will, and the scouts will, and our GM will, like through your lens and Lamar Jackson's optics and his background growing up in Florida and in a tough part of Miami, Salk. You know, he's going to sniff out like, no, this dude ain't gritty enough, man. He ain't dog enough. He ain't tough enough.
Yeah.
Nope. Don't want him. He looks real pretty and he can play. He's got skills, but I want dudes that are just willing to go to fight with me. And so that's pretty cool.
Great stuff. Thank you, Maura, for a nice trip around the NFL. There's certainly a lot of storylines these days. And tomorrow I got some rapid fire draft questions on these quarterbacks for you, Brock. It's funny. Your story there, it just kind of got me thinking about a topic we've spent, I don't know how much time on over the years, is masculinity, right? And what it really means, and your man card and all that other garbage. And the one thing that seems to break through any of it, Maura, I think you'll chuckle at this, is dogs. the funniest darn thing. I watched these, like, this was more when the kids were in elementary school a few years ago, but I watched these boys and they're running around and they're crazy and they won't sit still and they're tackling each other and they're jumping all over each other and they don't say anything to anybody. And then somebody will walk over with a dog, like a cute dog, and these same little boys will come over and be like, excuse me, can I please pet your dog? And you're like, yeah, of course. And then they're like loving your dog and they're like rolling on the ground with him and having fun. It just, that would always crack me up. I was walking Gertie yesterday, who is still pooping a lot, but she seems to have kind of regulated herself now a little bit, which is nice. She's not doing it in the middle of the night, so she's allowed to stay.
Awesome.
And so I'm walking her yesterday around the neighborhood, and this guy, he was a roofer. I think he had like the knee pads on, and he was like, you know, clearly doing some significant blue collar in the trade. Work, tough dude, much more of a man than me, obviously.
Handy,
yeah, clearly. I mean, literally, that's what he does for a living. Mm-hmm. He's covered in paint and spackle or whatever else, you know, happens in that. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, we get it.
He's covered in spackle.
He's Libby.
Spackle,
he's Libby
man.
Montana.
Spackle man. Yeah.
Guy
he's
looks
Libby
at me, Montana. Looks down at Gertie. Gertie looks at him, gets all excited, and he goes, he starts looking at her. He's like, can I play? You want to play? You want to play? You want to play? And he comes over, like, gets down on the ground. He's like, oh, the little puppy. He's like doing the whole thing. I'm dying. I was like doing everything I could not to just like, you know, hysterically laugh at this guy. It was hysterical.
What you don't know, Salk,
yeah,
is you just led to one of the greatest segues.
No, really?
I'm going to have you laughing
really
and bouncing around that studio with this draft profile.
I can't wait.
I'm going to have you say, woo, I want more. Woo, I love this
You're
guy.
You're going to have me just like this guy who was looking at my dog and just couldn't get enough of it.
Yep.
Just made my day yesterday. We'll be right back with Brock's draft profile. And apparently here, what did Passon call it? The Chuckle Hut? We're in the Chuckle Hut. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.